Welcome, everybody, to the post-game show. Now, I know we've played a lot of Sui categories here in the post-game show. I want to relive the one Sui that we played during the national show. This is not me being lazy. This is actually a Sui that's short enough to replay the mispronunciation category. Mm-hmm. So, guys, I want to play this one more time and get your pick for who's walking away with the hardware.
Okay. And now, the Sui nominees for best Stugatz mispronunciation. Important.
Important.
Criminals.
Criminals.
Clean.
Please.
Appear.
Be.
Reprehensible.
Reprehep.
Aren't.
Are.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Virtually.
Virtually.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Regularly.
Regularly.
I was going to say. Eliminated.
Eliminated.
Any of that.
Any of that.
He doesn't want to. Most.
Most.
Hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites.
Pro ball.
Pro.
I mean.
Yeah.
Earths.
And finally, 63 Earths. Earths. Earths could fit inside Uranus.
Butt soup.
Poopy poop butt butts. Butts cup for tampering.
Soup.
Jeez.
What are you? Butt soup.
Yeah,
soup.
I should have read that first.
I'm going to say it's a toss-up between any of that and he doesn't want to.
Really?
Yeah, I think probably he doesn't want to is going to take home the hardware.
Right. I have my own private theory that it's hermaphrodites and you just didn't want to say it again because of how badly you botched it.
You're right.
This is going to be a Stugatz-centric post-game show, by the way, because coming up, we're going to give the audience an opportunity. Steve Levy is starting his Monday Night Football gig tonight with the second part of that doubleheader, Stugatz.
He's starting it with Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick. And what's interesting is for the last couple of years, him and Greasy have been doing the 10 o'clock game, the second game, Monday Night Football. And tonight, he's the voice of Monday Night Football, the official voice of Monday Night Football. He's still doing the second game, him and Greasy. It's weird.
Fowler and Herbie get the game that's probably going to get more eyes with the Steelers and Giants, legacy teams there. Billy, any chance you stay up for the second part of tonight's Monday Night Football doubleheader?
What time does it start?
It's a 10:20 start.
not happening.
Me, no.
Are you guys interested in Fowler Herb Street?
I'm not going to be up for the start of it.
Are you interested in Fowler Herb Street? Doing a Monday Night Football game. You're going to watch just for Tony's shaking his head that he'll watch the game just for that.
I'll watch it. I'm interested. You can get me there.
Billy, they're doing the first game. It's weird. I don't know why they did that, but they are.
Herbie.
Yeah. Now, if he was doing the 10:20 game, Bill, would you stay up for that?
I'd stay up for Herbie.
I did miss Herbie calling a college football game. I really missed that because of the U.S. Open and the fact that they were doing the Monday Nighter, you didn't get Fowler and Herbie. Doesn't quite feel like college football season until you get Fowler and Herbie calling the game that's been highlighted by College Game Day. Well, it does feel like in many parts football is here because our regular experience on Sundays with the Red Zone seemed kind of normal. College football's lagging behind. College football to me still feels different, Billy.
You know who else I'd stay up for? Steve Levy.
Ah, there you go. The new voice of Monday Night Football with Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick was a guest on Stupidity last week. That is my podcast. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, part of Levitard and Friends Podcast Network. Steve Levy, the new voice of Monday Night Football. You're going to enjoy this because Steve Levy, I have followed his entire career. This is a broadcasting lifer, okay? Did updates at WFAN in New York. I mean, he has done everything in this business. And to be at north of 50 years old, to be able to land perhaps the biggest broadcasting job in sports media is pretty fantastic. And he was super emotional. He talks about it with us next.
He is the new voice of Monday Night Football. And we are very happy for him. He's become a big shot. We have to go through handlers now to get him. congratulations to you, by the way, my friend. This is very exciting news. Put us there. How'd you get the news that you were the new voice of Monday Night Football? If you could kind of take us through that experience.
It's been, sort of well documented. It's been a long process, right? I mean, it was a long, long ordeal to get to this point. There's been a ton of speculation and, you know, and really has been for, I don't know, 5-6 years, right? Like, my name was always, you know, mentioned in the sentence, you know, and for a long time, I was really just happy to be in the conversation. That's, you know, you want to talk about having a seat at the table with the big boys. They're even mentioning my name for Monday Night Football. So that for someone like myself was just a huge kick. And then to finally get the call, you know, I knew it was coming close. Look, how much longer could the executives wait? I mean, we're inside a month now, right? At some point, I have to start reading the NFL rule book so I don't confuse it with the XFL rule book and, you know, the 3-point extra point thing and all that stuff. So let's just say I was checking my phone frequently, and then it was a Friday morning, and within about an hour, I had 4 phone calls from 4 of our top executives. All congratulating me and wishing me. And I don't know if you heard the story. So I said, hey, you know, can you guys tell Greasy? Because I want to talk to him about it, but I don't want to be the one to break the news. I want Greasy to get the same treatment I got.
Sure.
No, nobody could find Greasy. He was on top of some mountain in Colorado, of course, because that's right. What Greasy does.
He was being Brian Greasy, right.
Being healthy, being one with the universe, you know, that whole thing. And so I couldn't talk to Greasy about it for 6 or 7 hours after the fact. So. But it's been great now. It's been, again, a long process to get here, but I'm ecstatic, obviously.
When you get news like that, Steve Levy, voice of Monday Night Football, who's the first person you called after getting that news?
So I'll be honest, you know, I'm 55. I'm not a kid, obviously, and I've been around the block and all that. I still called my mom and dad first.
And I thought it was going to be Melrose, to be honest with you.
You'd be surprised how locked in Melrose is on social media. He, like, congratulated me 2 weeks earlier. I'm like, where are you getting this from? You're on Twitter and Instagram, Barry Melrose, right? So one of my favorite sports movies is The Rookie. You know, about the 42-year-old pitcher for Tampa Bay, whatever, raised back in the day. Yeah. And so that it always gets me. It's about as close as I come to crying in a movie. He calls home to the wife, and she says, you got somebody you need to tell this to, and tells, you know, his child-age son that he got called up to the major leagues, you know. And so that's kind of what I was feeling, obviously, at much different age, but the emotion, you know, my parents have obviously been through this. They knew this was a possibility. You know, my dad's 82. My mom is like 77. I'm lucky to have them both, and both in pretty good health. And so, you know, they've been my biggest supporters, obviously. And my sister was the next call. So I have a very close immediate 4. And if you have time for one other quick one on that.
Yeah, yes.
So my kids knew it was a possibility. And this was really unbelievable for me. And I didn't want to tell them until it was official. So I waited, you know, really towards the end there. And I finally told them. And my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, was crying uncontrollably, like tears of joy, sobbing. Stugatz, I'm not kidding. The greatest hug of all time, a moment I will never forget. She would not let me go, crying, Daddy, I'm so happy for you.
That's awesome.
So, and I get a little emotional now. I've been talking about that. Then I
see you. I think I see you try. You're crying again, Steve.
I had twin boys.
Andy's crying. You get the whole place crying, man.
I had twin boys who were 8 years old, and one son said, you know, hey, congrats, Dad, like that, really, like, matter of fact. And the other son, he had his hands on his hips and said, wait a second, so we can't watch Monday Night Football together anymore. That's terrible, you know?
Now I can do it for the
boys. Apply to them, you know?
Yes.
And yeah, I said, look, for now we can still watch Thursday Night Football together, but give it a few years, and with any luck, if I'm still able to hang on to the seat, it'd be great to take these guys to a game or two. So, but it's been, you know, that's been the great thing, right? It's my buddies from 4th grade who I still have. My Oswego idiot buddies from my college, you know, like, and so for my friends and family, it's been cool. But we're close to getting ready to let's talk football, you know.
So, and mom and dad, how did that go? I imagine you had to get emotional. I imagine that was the moment mom and dad cried, right?
You know, my dad is not the emotional type, so he's a sort of strong and silent type, if you will. And so it was, you know, hey, good for you, happy for you kind of thing. And I could hear it in my mom's voice a little bit, so proud of you, that kind of thing. And, you know, that's a funny word. Like, I've been getting that a lot from people. Hey, I'm proud of you, right? And And to me, and maybe I'm wrong on this, proud seems like something someone older, right, says to someone younger. I'm proud of you. But I have heard from, you know, people in the industry, people I've worked with on other crews, you know, 25, 26 years old, saying, Steve, I'm so proud of you. Like, it's just kind of a, it's a really nice, touching moment. And I always thought of it as an older person to a younger person.
Sure.
And hey, proud is proud. And that's a really neat emotion to feel, you know, and I appreciate it.
Steve, do you think you're going to be nervous? Like, you've done games before. Do you think the first game you'll be nervous, even knowing you've done tons of football? You've done Monday Night Football before.
Yeah, so I don't think I will be. And so I'm really glad I went through it last year. It was a Broncos Raiders in Oakland, which was really cool to go in the black hole and all that stuff and see that scene. I was nervous leading up to that. I thought I was going to be nervous, and I really wasn't. I was surprised myself that I wasn't. You know, and everybody says, you know, get ready, the music's going to hit you, you know, dun, 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 and all that stuff. And at one point, the billboard was playing, and I could hear Tim Corrigan was our producer. And he's like, go, Steve, you know, that kind of thing. And supposed to read a card or something. Another couple seconds go by. Go, Steve. And I'm still not talking. I hear him, and Greasy's flipping out. And Lewis is looking at me, they're elbowing me. Like, I'm not this. You know, I want to hear the music a little bit. I want this to wash over me and then have my voice come on over the music like it always had when I was a kid. So I've been through that, and I really don't think I'll be nervous for week one this week. I think week two, when we really, you know, have the stage to ourselves, we're in the right time at 8:15 Eastern. We'll have the whole country. It's the full 15-minute pregame show. We are in Las Vegas, by the way. It happens to be the 50th anniversary, the first ever Monday night game. We will be on ABC that night. Like, that to me will be the here you are moment. So, you know, we don't have any preseason games like anybody else. We tried to put together a little rehearsal in Bristol, have some of the people together. We've got a brand new producer in Phil Dean, a brand new Monday night producer in Phil Dean. He's a legend on the college side. He's been doing the national semifinal for, I don't know, 20 years. Jimmy Platt's only in his second year. So it's an experienced crew, although we're not actually experienced together, if that makes sense. Sure. And so I think week two will be the wow. And then, you know, there's not really like – there's no grace period here ever on Monday night. But week three, we have what we think is the absolute game of the season. I mean, if you could pick one regular season NFL game to watch, only one, you know, we have Chiefs at Ravens. Like, I mean, that's great. I mean, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
Right? Jackson Mahomes. And what else could you ask for in week three? So I think the first, you know, week two, week three, and then hopefully I'm going to find my groove and settle in, and it'll start to feel comfortable. But I think we're going to roll it out slow. That has been the advice I've been given. Look, there's so much information being given to me now that, you know, sort of go slow, right? Like, I'm not – one of my strengths is, as a broadcaster, I think, is – I know what I don't know. Does that make sense?
Like, absolutely, yeah.
I'm not trying to show anybody. I know everything about the NFL. I'm next to Greasy and Riddick, who, quite honestly, are two of the most cerebral NFL minds, certainly at our place, and I would say in the country. So I'm gonna get the score right. I'm gonna focus on the teams that are playing, names and numbers, and I will defer, especially early on, to the football experts to my right. So.
All right. I'm hoping by the time you get to Patriots Jets, you will have found a comfort zone that you are so comfortable you'll allow me in the booth to kind of play around with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I'll go through your handler if you want, but I'm just thinking maybe that's something we should explore.
All of my Boston boys, they'll be dialed into that broadcast. Yeah, right down the middle, we play that one. Yeah.
By the way, next time you speak to Kenny Albert, okay? So I grew up in Port Washington, so did he. So we know the Alberts very well. Yeah. Kenny was my brother's best friend. Ask him about the Olympics we used to play in the basement and the time my brother's ear was hanging off of his face because me and my brother decided to get into a fight and I took a hockey stick to his face. Okay.
Wow. I will.
Kenny was there for all this.
Okay? I've taken part in the Albert Olympics myself. Maybe we were there at the same time back then.
Maybe.
But I will ask him about that story for sure.